Hi, I'm Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa, and you're listening to Food Fridays with Leonard Lopate on WNYC and WNYC.org.
Eating out can be a welcome relief from cooking, and New York is chock full of restaurants, but sometimes eating out comes with problems like bad service, long waits for a table, noisy fellow diners, screeching children, people talking on their cell phones. And then there's the matter of how much to tip or how to politely handle whether to pick up the check or split it. So we have invited Philip Galanis to help us sort through sticky issues like those. He is the author of the Social Cues advice column for the Sunday Style section of the New York Times. His book, Social Cues, How to Survive the Quirks, Quandaries, and Quagmires of Today, is published by Simon & Schuster. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you, Leonard.
And, of course, as always during these segments, we invite you, our listeners, to join in, especially if you need advice on these matters, and who doesn't. You can give us a call at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or reach us on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Do you get many questions to your column about restaurant etiquette?
Listen. To the extent an etiquette column is about first world problems, restaurants are the ground zero of first world problems, because we often are paying a hefty sum to go and try these places out, and they're terrific food.
And if the food is terrific.
If the food is terrific. But the thing is, in our heads, we can convince ourselves somehow that the payment is buying a whole range of services that it really isn't. It's still essentially a communitarian service. It is not. It is more like riding a bus than hiring a private Uber car to take you somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so whenever there are other people involved, there will be social problems. And so, yeah, we get a lot of them.
What about you personally? Are there certain kinds of problems that you encounter when you eat out?
Oh. The biggest problem I have lately when I eat out is noise. I sit in restaurants, and you know, there are only so many times you can say, you know, excuse me to the person that you're eating with before they either think you're an idiot or you feel so self-conscious. But the noise level at restaurants is getting it's really getting hot, noisy.
And you can't just ask the waiter to turn it down. They give you this look. Other customers love it.
Yeah, and it's not always music. A lot of the sort of minimal chic atmosphere at restaurants means that there would be no carpet or things that would absorb sound, so sound is bouncing all over the place. And last night I was at a restaurant, it looked like that the next table there were 10 guys from, I'm going to say, Morgan Stanley. It could have been any financial institution, but they were clearly out on some corporate tab, and they got noisier and noisier. And by the time our entrees were put down, I kind of felt like saying, can we just put this in a doggy bag and go home? Because I can't hear anything anyone is saying.
But even if the meal goes well and everything is hunky-dory, things can get kind of awkward when the check comes.
Yeah.
Why is it so awkward? Why are we afraid to be straightforward about who should pay what?
Yeah. This is the most common question. My friend always orders several drinks and appetizers, and I get the cheapest thing on the but you're right, Leonard, you go to the heart of the problem. If this person is really your friend and you've had a number of dining experiences with them, surely you must be close enough to say, let's talk about should we split this? I personally like the custom of my picking it up first time or the second time, letting you pick up the next one. I think it creates a really nice dance, and it underscores the idea that we like each other and we're going to do this. But some people don't feel that way, and I respect them a lot too. They want to have not only a division of the check, but a division of the check that will reflect precisely the things they have eaten and not reflect anything that they might not have eaten. And I'm not enough of a math genius to do any of that.
And then there's a whole matter of who picks up the check. I had an experience where somebody asked me to go to dinner so that he could pick my brain about something. And then afterward wanted to split the check. And I don't know, I assumed under those circumstances that he was paying.
Bad form.
There's that whole business of who pays if you've been invited out or...
Well, that's the rule of my parents' generation. If the person who did the inviting always picked up the check. But I don't think that's... I think between all of us now and the greater openness we have with our friends... This guy wasn't a friend, I was doing him a favor. This guy was just crazy. You were giving him a service and he didn't, you know, have the courtesy to pick it up. But I think we can talk about these things. I really do.
And then there's a whole matter of the tip. 20% is the standard for good service in most people's minds in New York. But although some people say double the tax, in Europe it's 12%, usually included in the bill. But if we get really great service, should we give more?
Should we give a little bit more? I feel lucky that most of the time I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling wealthy enough that I can be a little more generous, and it makes me feel good to give somebody who I know is working his tuchus off to do this job. But you know, I had a waiter once tell me, because he knew I did this column and he liked the column, and he wanted to tell me that waiters are rarely, if the speed of your service wasn't to your taste, the waiter is rarely the issue. The issue is going on in the management of the kitchen much more frequently. So penalizing them for certain kinds of service is just not penalizing the right person. I would think it's better always, if you're not happy with something, to talk with the maitre d' or the host or hostess of the place and let them know if you didn't have a great experience.
Well, sometimes waiters are over familiar, or
certainly
sometimes they say things that
I'm Sandy.
Or they say awful things. One of our listeners wrote me, how do I, a woman of a certain age, deal with a waiter who asks, and what can I get for you, young lady, without his spitting in my food as he brings it to the table?
I know. That is the worst. I mean, I feel like my mother really rarely fought with people. But the one time I really watched her tee off was when somebody said, dessert, young lady. And she really said, do you understand how condescending that is? You're telling me that I'm old. You're telling me that being old is something I should be ashamed of, and you're trying to then sugarcoat it with this backhanded sort of cutesy poo compliment. I hate it. Please don't do it. And then she felt so terrible, she probably gave the guy like a 30% tip at the end of it, because, you know, speaking up is not easy for some people.
There's also the matter of sending food back. We're always uncomfortable. Most of us are uncomfortable sending it back. But if we ordered the steak medium rare, it comes well done. Or if it comes out cold, we still have to deal with the waiter. And I had say to me, it looks okay to me.
Oh, that's ridiculous. But do you feel uncomfortable sending it back? I wouldn't have thought that about you.
I don't want to push it. If it's cold, I'm going to send it back. If it's really not cooked the way I asked for it, and it's not pleasant to eat, I'll send it back.
I don't mind being a pain in the ass under that circumstance. I don't mind saying, you know something, this isn't medium rare, or it's cold, or you know something. And where I'm getting very brave lately is when the wine is just that they recommend to me is just not that tasty. I'll say, you know, this one isn't really working for me. Could we try something else? And they're usually very happy to accommodate.
Often they will give you a little taste of the wine if you say you're not sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take some calls. My guest is Philip Galanis of the New York Times, among other things. And his social cues advice column can be found every Sunday in the Sunday Styles section of that newspaper. And Laura, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask about...
You're from Sleepy Hollow?
Hello?
You're from Sleepy Hollow?
I'm in Sleepy Hollow, yeah.
I love that.
Ichabod Crane?
Oh, yeah, and especially Halloween's coming.
Oh,
come on
wow.
up.
Go ahead.
So back when I was young and single and working in the city, I knew a woman who would call me regularly and ask me to go out with her to these really expensive restaurants, which I often did. And it was fun and it was great, and we would split the check every time, and I was fine with that. I found out that she was expensing those meals and taking my cash. And I've had very, you know, zen friends of mine say, well, you were paying for your food, which you would have done anyway, so not a big deal. But
oh, your friends are crazy, Laura.
Thank you.
Crazy. That woman was stealing. She was stealing from her company, and she was stealing from her friend. And that is just that's just really bad form. Now, she may not, let's assume she really didn't think it through. She didn't realize mm-hmm. quite how she was gaming the system. It felt like a little something that she was enticed into doing. The first time you found that out, if you ever go out to lunch with her again or dinner with her again, don't let that happen.
I haven't seen her in many years, and I have no plans on reconnecting with her.
You know, it's so funny that you would tell that story, because that happened to me once with a now famous guy at Condé Nast, and I thought, wow, I wonder if this is how, you know, journalists and magazine and newspaper people, I wonder if it's how they, you know, how they supplement their income. But no, I've since learned it's just what lousy people do.
Christopher from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. My question is, when I'm at a fancy restaurant and cocktails are like $15 a piece and a glass of wine, maybe $12 a piece, and I have three cocktails, my wife has two glasses of wine, am I expected to tip 20% on the beverage as well as the food?
You know, I've heard people make this distinction before. I've never seen in the official etiquette guides any rule that would say you wouldn't, but I can understand letting the tip skew down a little bit because the booze was so
well,
expensive.
Yeah, I mean, yes, the alcohol gets very expensive very quickly.
Yep, it's a fair point.
How about switching to wine, Christopher?
It's where restaurants make their money.
Wine can be $12-$15 a glass as well.
Yeah, it's where restaurants make their money, and it really wasn't. I can understand tipping more like 15% on the bar tab, and keeping it at 20% on the food. And you sound like you're a savvy guy, and you can work the math. I might have to text you and ask how much I should tip if I were going to follow this system. But if you can do it, great.
A listener emailed this question. We were out with very dear and close friends. We split the check at the end of the night. When I was done signing and adding the tip of 20%, my friend placed his signed credit slip next to me. It was south of 15%, and I was shocked. I have never left anything less than 20% unless there was some act of war. Should I have said something or just let it be? Or, as some people have suggested, added a little more to make up for the other person's lousy tip.
I know lots of folks in their 30s and 40s who are a little ashamed of their moms or dads who might leave more in the 12 to 15 department and sort of secretly put a $5 bill or a $10 bill in after they've left. You know, in this kind of situation with splitting, this might sound moronic, Leonard, but I've had situations where people think if you're splitting, somehow you should only be tipping 10%, because, and then they go, your 10 and my 10 equals 20. Sometimes people are really just math morons, and I'm one of those people. But I think in this case, not knowing they're dear friends at the time, I think I might just overcompensate by tipping more myself if I could afford it. It's not the easiest thing to tell someone he's cheap.
I once was taken to dinner, and then as people were getting up, I noticed that the tip was very inadequate. And so I reached into my pocket and I pulled out some more money, and the other person saw it and was very upset.
Yeah. because it's a very, I mean, in the moment, it's a very hard thing to do. I've done the same thing, but you know how I think I was about to say skin that cat, and then I realized Leonard, will get 200 emails. No one is saying that we should skin cats. It's sometimes better to leave and then circle back and say, oh, I left my bag at the table, and then slip the money in. Right. Then you're certain not to be caught out.
We're going to take a little break. We'll come back with more of your calls and more of this discussion about what you do in a restaurant when there are problems, when the people in the next table are noisy, when loud or offensive people are sitting next to you. Children come
children
to your table and want to drink your
incredibly
water.
Incredibly big issue. Changing diapers.
On the table? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Philip Galanis writes the Social Cues advice column for the Sunday Times style section. And his book is called Social Cues, How to Survive the Quirks, Quandaries, and Quagmires of Today. It's published by Simon & Schuster. Our number here, 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We are back with Philip Galanis. He writes the Social Cues advice column for the Sunday Style section of New York Times. And he has a book called Social Cues, How to Survive the Quirks, Quandaries, and Quagmires of Today. It's from Simon & Schuster. Our number here, 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And we go now to Corinna from Newtown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Corinna.
Yes, hi, Leonard. Thank you so much for taking my call. I think you guys are both having a very fascinating conversation that I wanted to contribute to. So I just wanted to bring a cultural aspect to the whole paying for the group and tipping. And basically the story is that I'm Romanian-American, and in Romanian culture, whoever's birthday it is usually the person that pays on behalf of everybody. So you invite them out, and it's your honor and to pay for everybody. It's just considered a birthday tradition. However, in American culture, it's custom to usually be treated by your friends if you're the one celebrating the birthday. So I wanted to ask the guest, Philip, as to how do you resolve some of these cultural aspects that play into eating out and paying?
Well, given the number of complaints that I get from friends of birthday boys and girls who are annoyed that they're supposed to pay 1/8 of the check at a really expensive restaurant, and given the fact that I'm not Romanian American, but I do it your way, Corinna, and I think it's a great custom. I think it's my birthday, and it's my pleasure really to have on my birthday my 5 or 6 close friends come and join me. So I think anyone, if you went to the trouble of explaining what the tradition of your culture is, I would hope that they would defer to you and say, wow, that's, I didn't know that, but wonderful. I think they should go with you on it.
Thank you for calling us. What's the kindest way to tell a dinner companion that it irritates you that they're checking their phone during the dinner?
No, I've gotten really brassy about that at the beginning. I mean, everybody is now so worried about checking so frequently. I say, I make it like I have a problem with it too, although honestly I don't. Lately I would be happy to drop my phone in the toilet and lose it forever. But
Even the new i6.
I say I feel very comfortable saying, let's put our phone away for the length of the lunch. Our phone's away, and we'll neither of us check. And if people, I have a lot of friends who are youngish moms, and I seem to recall I managed to scrape through childhood just fine without my mother being on 24/7, availability for me. And people will often go along with it. And if they don't go along with it, I say, well, then I really want you to go excuse yourself to the ladies' room or the men's room and check it. I don't want to feel like I am less important than some irrelevant email that's coming in from a friend talking about what spin class you're going to take later in the day.
What happens when the person at the table has really awful table manners? Do you just ignore it, grin and bear it?
I grin and bear it because it's like telling, I mean, it's like telling someone that they're cheap by slipping more money and having them seeing you. It's maybe something that you could do something or help with over the course of time. But in that moment, I think it is really impossible to say you're chewing with your mouth open, you're eating with your hands, it's bothering me. It happens more often than you'd think, right?
Yes.
A lot more often.
The world has gotten a lot more casual in the last few decades, and now people go to fancy restaurants wearing jeans. I have a friend who just gnashes his teeth every time he sees somebody without socks at a place like Danielle.
Oh, yeah. I see it more. I mean, you hear it more, people more at the opera, for instance. Mm-hmm. Or if you go to the Philharmonic and somebody's coming in a polo shirt, you can often hear people talking about it. But I actually think that casualness is, it doesn't bother me in the least.
Well,
but
some people feel it spoils their experience because
exactly.
This is a special night to them.
Right. It's my 25th anniversary, and we've gone to a really special restaurant. But unfortunately, falls in the category of more like a bus than a town car. We are in a communitarian environment, and we are not in a position to police what other people are wearing, unless there are children, and in some cases our partners.
Let's take another call. This one is from Jessica from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to bring a little bit of the waiter's experience into this to give an understanding for people who are eating out what it feels like and maybe a little advice on how to have a good dining experience. So one of the things you guys were just talking about, having cell phones at the table, and when the waiter comes up with a bunch of plates and they want to put them down on the table and your cell phone is sitting right there, it makes it much harder to present the plate well, and you kind of have to juggle and push the phone out of the way. So that is a little bit frustrating from a waiter side. Another thing is about ordering like a complete meal. If you're getting a burger, knowing what temperature you want it, whether you want cheese, all those things make it much easier for a waiter to get your order in well. But the most important thing I wanted to say was the customer can really help guide their experience. It's not a one-way street, and it's more of a relationship. So when customers come in, they can say that there you have a quick meal because they're going to a show, or they want to make it a longer meal. And being really vocal about what they liked, what they didn't like, will help the server guide other customers and guide their experience as well.
Terrific. Yeah, I think it's almost true about everything in life. The more we dare to speak up, but it might feel uncomfortable for the second that we're trying it for the first time. But speaking up usually pays off. It usually increases the odds of our getting something that we want.
Jessica,
what happens
when one of the customers says, "I'm torn between the pork and the souffle," you try to be nice. You say, "Well, they're both wonderful, but I prefer the pork." And then the customer is a little upset when doesn't like the pork. Do you get blamed?
Or don't you do that? I mean, in a way, I would always be honest with my own answer. But also, the more people that tell you what they liked and didn't like, the more you're informed on the consensus of what people like at the restaurant.
That's
so
true.
That
so
it
doesn't.
Experience will help me for the next time.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't need to be just about you. It can be the sum of everybody that you speak with.
Our signature dish is such and such.
Exactly.
Dave Kay left this question on our show page. Can you comment on how one should deal with children constantly running back and forth in an upscale restaurant?
Yeah, it's a big
Do you talk to the parents?
I get a lot of traffic. I don't think you ever talk to the parents. And the problem is when you talk to parents. I understand this emotionally. Parents always get immediately defensive as if their child is being criticized personally when that is really not the case. It's that this restaurant and this upscale restaurant is not a playground. And so you speak to the manager of the place and she or he is often very wary to go and tell another customer about how they should be treating how they should be, minding their children in the restaurant. In my experience, the thing that keeps my blood pressure the lowest and works the best is to ask for myself to be moved away from this child, because the parent is more likely than not going to bite your head off and you're going to be in a fight you really didn't want to be in.
Or they're going to hit the kid
if
they're a football player.
Exactly. That's awful, Leonard. Truly awful. The FCC is probably going to fine you for that. But the other thing that will happen is that I understand from the restaurant's point of view, they're in the business to make money, so they're not going to be criticizing their patrons. As unfair as it is, this is one of those really unfair things. When I see a table of noisy-looking kids and I'm going that way, I would rather wait 10 minutes for a table in another part of the restaurant.
A listener wrote in on Twitter, "It drives me crazy when servers clear plates before all are finished. Okay to tell them to stop?" I do.
I always
do. But it is an annoying thing where you feel that they're hovering, waiting for you to take that last bite, and then they come running over to take the plate. Well, if the other people haven't finished eating, why did they have to do that?
You're creating this awful imbalance where somebody then is sitting alone at a table with a plate and feels like she has to really rush through her chicken. I think sometimes waiters think they're being super attentive by doing that. I don't believe, which a lot of my readers will write in and say, that they're trying to rush the table through so they can get another seating in as quickly as possible. I think they're probably trying to show you how attentive they are, but it's in fact something that we should feel free to speak up and say, "No, I'll keep my plate until everyone's finished. Thanks." And then they go along with you.
Let's go to Gary from New Rochelle. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Okay.
Speaking to Philip Galanis. We can hear you.
Okay. We've been out on a number of occasions with friends, and one of the individuals takes it upon himself to order the wine. Unfortunately, it turns out to be the most expensive bottle of wine on the wine list, and then everybody is expected to split the check. What we do is I will ask for a separate check. I'll order whatever I want, even if it's wine by the glass, and we overcome the problem.
Sometimes they don't want to give you a separate check.
How you've touched on every single subject that annoys me, particularly about clearing the table before we're finished, and not filling the water glasses. Mm. And I will never mistreat a waiter or waitress, even if the service is poor. And I won't go to management. I'll speak to the waiter. I'll take him aside and say, "I'm giving you a tip, despite the fact that your service fell far short of what I expected. And I guarantee you, the next time he waits on the table, he'll do a much better job. But why take it out on him? Why get management involved? I would not want to be responsible for anybody's job."
And along these lines, if the food was awful, and sometimes they'll pick up the tab. The restaurant will say, "Oops, something went wrong in the kitchen." How do you work out a tip? It's not the waiter's fault.
Exactly. What I've done when something like that has happened to me, or when a restaurant that I go to all the time is saying, you know, "Thank you so much for this constant patronage," and they pick up the check, is that I just try to do the math in my head. The two pastas cost X and the two salads cost Y, and we had a bottle of wine. And then I try to calculate the 20% and leave that in cash, just so that the waiter is, you know, getting compensated for the fact that it's great that the restaurant wants to be generous with me, but I don't want to penalize her or him for her service.
A listener wrote this, and it's something that's never happened to me, but I've seen it in movies many times. What's the etiquette for sending a drink to someone? And if you're the recipient, can you refuse it?
Because they're,
or if you accept it, like, do you have to invite that person over to your
like
table?
A flirty thing? Oh, you're right, Leonard. I've only seen this in movies. Like, I'm thinking Harry Met Sally and like old romantic comedies like that. I think that that is a really bad idea. I think it would create if I were at a restaurant and I saw Leonard, who I like a lot, I would feel, you know, and I were feeling really, really generous, it'd be one thing to say that, you know, send Leonard's table this bottle from me. But if you're doing it because you want to pick somebody up, that feels like a little 70s Fern bar and probably not the way to go because you're making lots of assumptions. Most important one is that she's a nice person because she looks really pretty.
A number of people have written in to ask this question, even though it really doesn't apply to the topic at hand. Why are we in a situation where we have to leave tips? Why are waiters paid so poorly? If you go to other countries, first of all, the tip is included usually in the cost of the meal. But waiters in France and Germany or the Netherlands are paid a lot more.
It's you know, it really is true. A lot of it, as I understand it, a lot of it is that the cost of running a business in New York is very high. And
The waiters are paying for the fact that the rent is high.
The waiters and we often see this all the time. The whole thing about minimum wage is there's a sticky floor. If businesses can get away with forcing the lowest people on the totem pole to subsidize the cost of running their business more profitably, it is a classically kind of American business instinct to do it that way. It's sad, but it's certainly a fair point that your listeners are raising.
Joe from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing?
Go ahead.
Good. I was just curious, when you go to a buffet, what's the typical tip you leave? I mean, when, typically they may or may not bring you the drinks. You may have to get them yourself, depending on where you go. But I always feel kind of guilty, because I never really know what to tip somebody who's not really serving you taking your order or anything.
Oh, I see. That's a very interesting, that's an interesting one. So it's like $20 and it's a kind of all you eat buffet and you go and get your own food and your own drink.
And they're going to pick up the dishes afterward, but that's pretty much what they're going to do.
But that's all they're going to do. I would say in that situation that I'd be more inclined to leave something in the 10 to 15% range than the 15 to 20% range. But I think you could feel fine about 10. You really haven't had a service provider.
On the other hand, a listener wonders about tipping a delivery person when you order in. That person is the equivalent of a waiter.
She certainly is.
And often had to bike over.
And I never understood how anybody thought that what a waiter does in a restaurant could possibly compare to driving on a bicycle across town. I always give them 20% and sometimes even more just because I feel so guilty.
Philip Galanis, Guilt and All, is the author of the Social Cues advice column for the Sunday Style section of the New York Times. His book, Social Cues, How to Survive the Quirks, Quandaries, and Quagmires of Today, is published by Simon & Schuster. Philip, thank you so much for being on our show again.
I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it, Leonard. Thank you.